Panthers Pulse, an inside look at the Carolina Panthers and the National Football League, exclusively at Panthers.com.
It's radio, it's television, and it's on the web. We call it Panthers Pulse. It's Mike Kraft, Panthers.com, along with Max Henson, staff writer from Panthers.com, Dan LaTaraca, the man keeping his finger on the pulse of our social media networks, and the man in the guest chair today, call him JT, Josh Thomas. And unfortunately, you missed probably the best part of this conversation because we just finished up a diatribe on Texas barbecue versus Carolina barbecue. And that sound you hear is my stomach growling because yesterday was Meatless Monday. Josh, glad to have you in the house.
I appreciate it. Yeah. Glad you guys are having me.
Yeah, well, you're representing for Texas. Mm-hmm. Folks back home, don't fear. He hasn't jumped ship yet. But young man, talk to us about your off season. How's it going so far?
Man, off season is beautiful. It's been a lot of family time. And obviously, those kinds of times you take for granted throughout the season. But flying back home, seeing a lot of family, and I mean, family is a big part that you miss throughout the season. So, I mean, for me, that's been my biggest part of this off season. And obviously, I've gotten back into training for about 3 weeks, doing yoga, and you know, just really challenging myself, but not doing too much because it's going to be, I'm trying to prepare myself for the 2013 season. So, overall, I haven't taken any vacations yet, but I will be taking one, a little cruise here in a month. So I'm really looking forward to that. But overall, I mean, I'm having a great off season.
Sounds good. Well, let me tell you, you are officially the Panthers Pulse unsung defensive hero of the season.
Oh, okay.
And that honor goes along with just a good pat on the back. That's about all.
I appreciate that.
We're still working out our gift card situation, but
all right.
But a reason why: 7 pass breakups in the final 7 games, 35 tackles, mm-hmm. most of them down the stretch. Talk about the way you guys finished the season, and you specifically.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Coach, he definitely challenged us as an overall unit to come more together and put more time in, because a lot of times, you know, the better players are separated by the time, the extra voluntary time that they put in, not only by themselves, but with each other. So I think that was more key for us. And then, and that's because of confidence builder, because the guy you're playing against, you know, you want to be able to trust that he's going to do his job every time. And I think that was more key for us because, you know, we obviously have the talent, but as far as like putting the pieces together and actually molding it and making the defense that you wanted to become, that's what we started to realize towards the end of the season. So it became a, you know, like a building process, so to speak. So, and we didn't even peak, and that's what the scary part is about it. So I'm really looking forward to next season. But overall, I mean, that's what it was really about. It's just the trust factor and putting the extra time in. And I mean, how bad do you want it? And I mean, you look to your left and to your right. You know, you see the same fire in the guy's eyes. You know, you can line up and play with more confidence.
No, man, we see you training, you know, on the offseason. Deason was here last week talking about how you've been in the locker room every day and the weight room, really working out. So
yeah,
we do have a lot of questions actually coming in about what your offseason workouts are like and how does it differ with what you do in training camp or during the regular season, and what kind of things are you doing to prepare now to kind of up your game for next year?
Yeah, well, training camp is definitely just it's a marathon. You know, it's the burning stage. I mean, that's the hardest part of the year for me, I would say, because, you know, you want to stay healthy, you want to stay geared in, ready for the season, but at the same time, you want to be effective, you know, because everybody's competing for a job. But right now, and in this off season, you know, I'm more so focused on my full agility, mm-hmm. and also my flexibility, mm-hmm. because flexibility is going to come in as a big part of, I mean, longevity. Yeah. Throughout this career. So sure. me being young and trying to be smart and seeing guys like Beeson, you know, TD, for example, I mean, how resilient is he?
Yeah.
You know, just to keep coming back and, you know, still being effective.
Sure.
So for me as a young guy, you know, I don't come here, you know, paint a picture like I know, because I don't. But I also see my surroundings. And that's been my key for my success, I think, in my career, mm-hmm. is, you know, learning from the guys around me. Yeah. So, you know, when you're looking at the off season into the training camp, I think that's what it really is about. It's just, for me, is, you know, seeing what I can do more,
sure.
and to better impact my career.
Max?
Yeah, Josh, just wanted to get back to we talked about that, winning five of the last six, winning four in a row, and you, you said the word confidence. And that seemed pretty evident, especially in the secondary, that there was just a new level of confidence back there towards the end of the season. And I guess explain to us kind of how just being confident amongst yourself and the group back there really just changes things on a game-to-game basis, the fact that you just guys – you feel good about yourself and that the kind of play can reflect that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I could be, you know, quite, you know, honest with you as far as give me a little bit of exposure to, you know, behind the scenes. For example, you know, you got a guy like me who's coming in. I didn't play a lick last year on defense. You know, I earned a role on special teams. But having a mindset of coming in, you know, you want to compete for a job every day. And for me personally, I always knew that I could play, and I always knew that I can come in here and set a tone in the secondary. But going into this year, you know, like I said, behind the scenes, you get questioned. You get questioned because, you know, you haven't been there. And you got guys who, you know, paved the way before you. So you want to make sure you come in, you fill the role, and you do it well. So for me, you know, my first game, you know, I had Charles. I'm never going to forget Charles Godfrey. He clapped his hands like, hey, look me in the eyes. Hey, let's go. And, you know, just not the statement that he made, but just the energy that, that transpired. And so for me, going into this whole deal, you know, you can't question yourself. When I say confidence, confidence goes a really long way, because if you play without confidence, the guy across from you, he's going to beat you every time. Right. And you can't go begin doubting your skill level. So, you know, you got those guys in the meeting room, and, you know, they want to make sure you know, because when you get out there, you know, you're all by yourself. You know, they can't hold your hand. They can't tell you what to do. You got to know for yourself. So that comes with confidence, and also comes with, obviously, the skill level, why this guy's brought you in and, you know, to do what you need to do.
I'm sorry.
I was just the nature of that position you play. You're on an island a lot of times, and a lot of times, I mean, that's it's a position where you're going to get beat occasionally. The cornerback position, I mean, that's just the way it works. So, I mean, how important was it for you to have a guy like Charles and everybody kind of just getting you ready for what was going to be a challenge playing at this level?
Well, you know, for me, I'm a, I have an ego, and I do.
And a cornerback with an ego, I don't believe it.
Well, I mean, I'm a very humble guy. You know, I don't say very much, but and I'm on the field, I'm a completely different person.
Yeah.
And I told myself this year I was going to let a little bit of my ego speak for itself.
Okay.
You know, not necessarily speak for itself, but be a little bit more vocal, so to speak. But going back to Charles Godfrey and people like Captain Munderlin and Chris Gamble, you know, I respect those guys. You know what I'm saying? And I want to make sure that I keep my ego intact, and I didn't want, you know, flared and feathers, because, you know, when their game is, you know, I think their game is tight. So I want to make sure I absorb and be a sponge of anything that I can grasp from them to make myself a better player. So as far as for me, man, it's coming into this game this year. You know, I really like to be, you know, let my true colors, you know, flare a little bit more overall as a balance, and not necessarily being the guy in the background and just making plays, but, you know, let the fans also get more of a grasp of me as a player, and at the same time, my teammates can, you know, open up the door a little bit to them too, as far as like getting to know me as a person, because at the end of the day, you know, when you're in a long stretch, you know, you're playing for the Super Bowl, and I'm not gonna lie, I've seen the Ravens play their Super Bowl, and I mean, they play with passion and emotion. You know, you could tell that those guys, you know, not only they were molded as a defense, but they knew each other, you know. And a part of me is what I want to be able to offer this year. I want to be able to offer my fans, my teammates, you know, who is Josh Thomas. You know, part of that is, you know, showing them my ego.
Well, that's a good question, because a little bit of your background, you went to the Cowboys all the way to the last cut in 2011. Panthers picked you up. But I got to ask you, how do you go from Cedar Hill, Texas to Buffalo in college? I mean, from high school to college. Turner Gill must be a great recruiter.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Well, you know, I had a lot of Division One teams who did pass up on me, and unfortunately. You know, I've always been that underdog guy, the guy, you know, in the shadows. But, you know, Turner Gill, he made a personal trip to come down and invite me to a trip. And for me, you know, him being from Dallas-Fort Worth, you know, a black coach at that too, had a lot to do with me traveling miles and miles and miles all the way to New York to a completely different climate, weather climate. So, I mean, hey, I learned a lot from Turner Gill. You know, he's a man of God, man. He's led me through my days of being able to triumph over all the odds. So, I mean, he's definitely a guy to, you know, always keep track of, even well after football, because he's such a big inspiration. Yeah. And so it had a lot to do with me going up there.
No doubt. Good man indeed. Mm-hmm. Well, as always, like as you said, fans have a chance to get to know you better. And on this show, they ask a lot of questions through Facebook and Twitter. Dan,
We got Frankie Williams asking, how would you define your style of play? And if you had to compare yourself to another player, mm-hmm. who would it be?
Mm-hmm. I've always mimicked my play off of Al Harris due to the fact, you know, he's resilient. He's a madman on the field.
Former Eagle.
Yeah.
Former Eagle. Al Harris.
No, he's
Packer.
Packer. Packer. Packer. Yeah. Okay.
No desire to grow the dreads out like Al Harris though?
No. Well, I tried. But the process a little bit too long, so I couldn't do it. But, hey, I mean, I really expect this style of play. I've actually tried to reach out to him this offseason to get, you know, maybe 2 weeks with him, you know, just to pick his brain. But
well, maybe he's watching, making an appeal.
Hey, Al, holler at your boy, man. You know. But back to me, how I would describe my play style would be very tenacious. Very tenacious. What my challenge would be this year, though, is to get some more turnovers. You know, I would like to be, you know, not just tenacious, but that smooth overall athlete.
Sure.
Having the ball hawk.
Well, what was your biggest adjustment? I mean, going from Buffalo to playing against guys like Julio Jones and Colston down in New Orleans and those guys. I mean, right in this division, you're going to see the best of the best.
Yes. I would definitely say consistency. You know, you can't sleep on any play. You got a guy like, say, Julio Jones, for example. I mean, he's a very explosive, big play guy. Mm-hmm. So you can't afford to you going to sleep or not really working your technique to its best every single play. Mm-hmm. You know, being locked in every single play. I mean, and that's the biggest transition for me coming from the college level, the lower end of college level at that. To the NFL, the drastic difference was the consistency and playing at a high level every single play.
Wasn't there a question, Dan, about press coverage?
Yeah, I was actually about to ask that one, Mike. Brandon Snyder asked, are you more comfortable in man or zone or press or no press?
Well, I'm more comfortable in man coverage due to the fact that's how we really ran in Buffalo in cover two.
Yeah.
But I'm learning zone. Zone is really helped me be able to relax and be more comfortable. In man coverage, you're always on your toes. But I prefer to play man coverage just because, you know, I mean, it has a lot to do part with my ego, you know, because I can cover you all by myself, you know, and not need any help. But
well, we had a fan comment like, you know, they love the way your swagger. It's Jessica Bargsley on Facebook saying, you know, you play with a lot of swagger and a lot of passion. So the fans see that. I mean, it pours out on TV. We'd always be.
Right.
Yeah.
And without 18 wristbands on your arms and towel hanging down to your ankle. But, I mean, you let these guys on the other side of the ball know that you're not going to back down from a challenge.
Right, right. Well, they definitely, I'm not going to say the team due to the fact, you know, there's already a lot of animosity between us. But I'm never going to forget before the game, this is probably the most disrespect or overlooked that I've gotten. By any team or opponent in my career. I'm talking about even Little League.
Wow.
Before the game, they were playing basketball, like alley hoops, with each other. They weren't warming up. They were, you know, just tossing the ball, doing tricks, you know, looking at us, taunting us. And I just really thought about, man.
What?
They definitely don't know who I am, you know, obviously. Right. But they gonna know after this game is done.
Awesome.
And so, sure enough, the first play, I got in one guy's throat. You know, I got in his throat. You know, I didn't get called for it, but and that's just the kind of style I play. You know, I want to make sure the guy in front of me, he's gonna feel me.
Yeah.
You know, you're gonna know I'm there, and you're gonna have a long game. And I'm gonna do what I need to do as far as what my coach needs me to do. But at the same time, I'm gonna stay true to who I am because I love this game and I respect it. It's giving me everything that I have. So, you know, you're not gonna come over here taunting me.
Yeah,
you know, and not respecting the guy in front of you. So. And I take it really serious. And I still, you know, it still makes me get flared up right now. Just
uh-oh,
thinking
look
about
out,
it.
Look out over there.
That's a barbecue.
Look out over there. We're going to have to calm it down. But no, disrespect like that in pregame.
Yeah, man.
And so you're not going to name names.
Oh, no. I'm not going to. I would say, you know what? I said it's Atlanta. Atlanta.
Well, there it is. Well, we home.
I knew it. We kind of knew it already.
Yeah, we suspected.
But you know, that's part of the rivalry, right?
Yeah. I guess so, but I don't care. I'm not taking it personal. I don't. When it gets involved to teams and stuff like that, for me, I really look forward to going out there, doing my job, you know, and competing. That's what I'm about. But when you get into all the talking and jibber jabber, I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in what you're going to do. So that's what I kind of put my ego. You know, last year I put it in the closet, but this year I'm not holding back anything. So for me, So it was Atlanta. You know, play them again this year. We play them again, and that's the great part about it.
You'll play them twice.
Yeah.
By the way, just a quick note. That was our first Mr. T reference on the Pulse.
I missed that. The jibber jabber.
Just kind of put that note out there.
And let's get one more question with the time we have.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this one is kind of a softball, but we had Anthony Kesnerjat asking, if you had a superpower, what would it be?
I would say predicting the future.
That's a good one to have. The cornerback?
Yeah, Noah plays.
Now, see, we practice 300
interceptions per year.
And you said eyesight. Now you're changing on it.
Because I thought about it. I mean, if I could predict the future, I could easily, you know, get a lot of interceptions.
Yeah, 10,000 seasons.
Okay, which superhero would you be?
Oh, I'd say Batman. He's natural. He's just human strength, and he's just...
So I see you as a daredevil kind of guy.
But
you know,
he can't fly.
Man with no fear.
He has a lot of gadgets, but he can't fly.
He's smart. That's what makes him so supernatural.
Yeah.
Because he's just all human. He's just beast mode. Everything he does.
Right. Well, man, I tell you, we appreciate your time taking your lunch break with us. What I want you to do, you know, since you got all that pent up stuff about Atlanta, Dan will do some releases out there in the press box.
All right.
You can jam him.
Already.
And jam and press him up against the wall and get all that frustration out. Dan, you don't mind, do you?
It's part of the Pulse, man.
As always, we promise to stop talking before you stop
there
listening.
You go.
This is Mike Kraft on behalf of Max Henson, Dan, Brian Strickland, man in the live stream. So I guess we were up. He's doing his job.
He'll be back soon.
Yeah, he'll be back in his chair. Actually, Brian and I are going to the combine start tomorrow. So look for us here and next week right here on Panthers.com.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
That was great.